David Hochberg's going to join us now, though, and that is this is stuff that can save you money right here, this segment. So if you've got a question, 312-981-7200. It's about mortgage rates, maybe refinancing. It's a changing environment, David. And I know you also want to tell us about some updates here with forbearance. That's on our list of things to talk about. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday, ladies. Mm-hmm. The CARES Act updated a bunch of information that our listeners need to be aware of, namely that you got another 6 months of forbearance if you contact your servicer and ask them to extend it. They don't have to, but you have to put in that call to them ASAP and request it. You can't just assume that they're going to extend it. You have to request it. And the other big thing that came out of the CARES Act, too, that recently passed was before the moratorium on foreclosures is lifting July 1st. So June 30th is the last day that the banks are going to sit back and not foreclose on our listeners in mass. And that is a huge date, huge date. Got two calls this week from listeners whose servicers basically told them are coming out of forbearance and said, hey, you either have to pay up right away or we're going to foreclose on you. So the patience that the lenders have extended to their borrowers for the past 12 months is basically running out, and they're going to come after our listeners' houses if they don't take proper procedures and get into position to weather the storm. This one lady I spoke with, a listener, husband's been out of work for 20 years. He's disabled. She's a nurse, got cut back. He is only working so much, can't afford the house, and the servicer basically said, sorry to hear that, too bad. Either you give us all the money or we're going to start foreclosing. So happy Friday, everybody. Yeah, that's something. You can't be messing around with this, okay? Everybody got a reprieve over the past year, and hopefully you've put yourself into a better position. Our listeners that needed it has put themselves in better positions. Talked to a buddy of mine I used to work with yesterday. He went into forbearance about 6 months ago. He's like, yeah, I'm about ready to come out of it. I think I'm going to come out of it. I'm like, how much credit card debt do you have? He's like, about 15 to 20 grand. I'm like, you're out of your mind. I'm like, why are you coming out of forbearance when you have 15 to 20 grand worth of credit card debt? Use this time. And the bank he called, the bank gave him another 6 months. Said, use that 6 months to use that $3,000 mortgage payment to defer it to pay down the rest of your credit card debt. So these are the strategies that our listeners need to know are available to them, and they need to implement it over the next 3 to 6 months in order to get themselves into a better position, because come the fall, there's going to be a lot of foreclosures on the market.
Let me ask you about something, because related to that. So I keep reading and hearing, all looking at the data here about home sales are way up, okay, but home values are also way up. And I wonder, is this the kind of environment where your house, you're no longer underwater, most homes are not, I'm going to ask you, that you could sell your home if you're facing foreclosure and try to get out of it? Can you do that?
Sure, absolutely. You can absolutely do that. And what you want to do, Anna, is get ahead of it before the bank throws you into foreclosure, and then there's another $20,000 to $30,000 worth of attorney's bills on top of it, because you know the attorneys aren't going to work for free. And once it gets into the foreclosure, the REO section of the bank, boom, there's another 20, 30 G's worth of legal bills on top of what you owe. But the problem is, a lot of our listeners, Anna, don't have anywhere to go. Okay, and that's the challenge that we face right now. As we come out of this, okay, as we come out of this fog that we've been in, and as more of our listeners get inoculated, as more of the community gets their vaccine, and we get to herd immunity, whatever that is, hopefully by the summertime, hopefully the economy gets up and running. The challenge is, you have whole sectors, as we talked about last year. I remember I was in your office last year, and you're like, I just got a call from a buddy of mine. They just canceled the houseware show. And I'm like, what?
I know.
Okay, remember that?
Remember that.
Okay,
oh,
remember?
Like it was yesterday.
As
like,
if it was
what?
Yesterday.
They're doing
I'm like,
that?
And I'm like, what? And you're like, yeah, houseware show's gone. This show's gone. That show's gone. And I'm like, you know what that means? And you're like, what does it mean? I'm like, that's $5,000 that guy, your friend, was going to make that week in overtime and everything, gone. It's never coming back. And I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer or David Downer, because my name's David and not Debbie. I would have been Debbie if I was a girl. But that's a whole other story. But you know, I'm not trying to bring our listeners down, but you've got entire industries, Anna, that have not recovered. All of the entertainment industries, the limousine companies, the bands, all of the catering halls, all of the hotels, all of that sort of industries, all the dressmakers, all the tuxedos, all the florists that have gone out because there hasn't been any major events. That whole sector of the economy and those individuals and those listeners that own homes, they've got some major challenges going on right now that they're going to have to start facing in the next 6 months, because this foreclosure train is going to end, and the banks are going to, and the servicers are going to want their money or going to take your house.
So the Happy advice Friday. You would give. Right. I know, right. But it's important. I understand why you bring it up, because this deadline's here and some people may not realize it, and it's a hard thing to have to face if you're in that situation.
So
but
here's
what's your first move?
Your first move is, if you haven't gone into forbearance, get off your rear end and contact your servicer now. Get your documents in order, W-2s, pay stubs, bank statements, because now you have to show and prove you have a hardship. Okay? So get in front of it and start qualifying for it. It's probably going to take you 30, 60, 90 days to get ahead of it. Okay? So all of our listeners that stuck their head in the sand, you better remove it out of the sand and start getting help. The other listeners who are going to be coming out of forbearance and still can't make that mortgage payment, and a lot of our listeners are going to be in that spot, you're going to have to contact a bankruptcy attorney in order to try to save your home, because you could save your home from a foreclosure with the bankruptcy. And again, I'm giving our listeners strategies today, like I gave our listeners strategies a year ago at this time, to go into forbearance to weather the storm. Mm-hmm. The storm is over. Okay, hopefully, God willing, the storm is over and we're coming out of this thing. And hopefully we'll come out of it and the economy rips and roars and everybody gets back to work. But it's still going to be a segment of the economy, and our listeners are not going to be able to catch up. And they're going to have to play defense and start getting their house in order in the middle of March. So when July 1st comes through, that freight train coming is not going to flatten them. Okay, and I'm not trying to scare people. I'm just trying to educate our listeners what's happening. Our industry is predicting a major flood of foreclosures towards the latter end of this year, because there's a large chunk of our listeners that no matter what you do, the mortgage payment, are not going to be able to make it.
Mm-hmm. Hang on for a second with me, David. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll take your questions for David Hochberg about any of this, forbearance, as he just pointed out, mortgages, refinances. I want to ask you about rates. Lots of people have been refinancing. Where are we going with that? 218 is the time. 312-981-7200. That's our number. Your questions for David after this. All right, David Hochberg, the Fed spoke yesterday that I guess they're not hip to be totally raising rates anytime soon. But what are mortgage rates doing? Because you've been warning us for a few months here that they are ticking upwards.
Yeah, they already have ticked up. We're completely out of the twos now, on the way to the fours. So we're solidly entrenched into the threes. Still historically low, right? I mean, you were at ridiculously historically low for the past 2-3 months. Now you're back to just regular historically lows. And if you talk to anybody that has gray hair and that was born before 1960 and bought their first home in the 80s, they'll tell you that their first rate was like 15, 16, 17, 18%, and 3.5, which is where we're at now. It's not a bad place to be.
Very
just,
true.
You know, we all got spoiled down in the twos, and those home buyers, and here's the kick in the head, okay? The home buyers that were out there buying and qualifying at 2.625 to 2.75 are now qualifying at 3.25 to 3.5. You just lost $22,000 worth of borrowing power on a $250,000 mortgage, okay? So if you were buying a $300,000-and-some-thousand-dollar home with 20% down, you now qualify to borrow $22,000 less. So what's that doing to the marketplace? The jump in the rates has scared the heck out of everybody that's sitting on the fence trying to get into a home. Now they're running into these homes to try to get the home before the rate starts with a four, okay? Because now they're calling around to the three different lenders that they were working with, and everybody's like, yeah, you missed the twos. We're into the, solidly in the threes. And now they're like, well, I want to get into a house before we hit four. And now, so that's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is that some of these buyers aren't going to be able to qualify for the homes that they originally thought they'd be able to qualify for. So they're now dropping down into a lower price range. And some of them are just, frankly, just falling off because they don't qualify at all. So It has put a little bit of a, oh, my God, factor into the marketplace. I can't believe rates jump 0.75, and you still got the segment of our listeners who think it's a conspiracy. And I say go back 6 months ago when gasoline was at $1.87 a gallon in Lake County, and now it's at $2.96 a gallon. Okay, it's not a conspiracy. It's up $1.20 because it's called the market, and the market doesn't wait for you to decide to buy a home. The market changes based upon economic information that's happening every single day, that's happening right now, that that could negatively or positively impact interest rates. So it's a crazy time right now. It is.
Let's take some calls, go. David. I want to make sure we get them in. Andrew, line one, tell me who's on line one. We'll take that call. All right, let's hear from Steve then. Steve, go ahead. You're on WGN. Your question for David Hochberg.
David, I own a two flat. I don't live in it. I owe $200,000 on it. My interest rate's at 4.5%. I've got a mortgage broker, a buddy of mine from high school. He said he shopped around. He looked around. He said, don't even waste your time, that there's a different set of lending standards, apparently, for rental units.
Yeah.
So everybody's talking about these great interest rates. It does not apply to me. Am I right?
Well, it does apply to you. What your friend, the mortgage professional, was telling you is, number one, there's an automatic rate adjustment for an owner-occupied property and a non-owner-occupied property. You have a non-owner-occupied property, so there's an instant jump. What happened at the end of the Trump administration is that they limited the amount of the portfolio that Fannie and Freddie could hold within their portfolio of investment properties and second homes, which put further pressure on the market. That came out like 10 days ago. Like, hey, good morning, it's Monday, here's what's happening today. No warning whatsoever, right? Instant change, and that bumped the rates up a little bit. So I would tell our listeners, okay, Steve, there are a lot of listeners who are still sitting in 6%, 7%, 5% loans that have investment properties that make sense to refinance into a lower rate. Makes sense to possibly look at shortening the term. Not a big fan of that, but if you can keep your mortgage payment within, it's called the Benjamin Rule. It's my coined rule here. If you keep your mortgage payment within $100 of where you're at now and drop the term down, which means you eliminate some of the years, you do it because everybody could always save $100 a month someplace here or there. But your friend's 100% right, Steve. Rates on second homes and investment properties have increased. And at 4.5% on a two-unit non-owner occupied, probably doesn't make sense today.
Thank you, Steve. We got to try to go to Roger here because we're trying to fit one more in before the break here. Go ahead, Roger. Let's go ahead with your question for David.
Oh, hi, David. Question. I have a house. We've been there for a long time. And my rate is 4.125.
Yep.
We owe about 220 some thousand on the house.
Okay.
My wife is retired. She gets a pension. I'm retired. I get a Social Security. We both work, still work.
What's your house worth?
I don't know. There's sort of ridiculous where we live on the northwest side here. I would say $400,000 plus.
Okay. You need any money to pay off debt?
No. We have no credit cards. We don't have anything. We actually are lucky enough to save quite a bit every month.
Well, here, you're under 60% loan to value. There's still a refinance opportunity for you to get into the threes, and you're in a perfect spot to take advantage of the still historically low rates. Okay, so, somebody like you should contact a mortgage professional and look at different options and to see if it makes sense and run some numbers.
Question, what's the rate on a 15-year mortgage?
15-year mortgage is in the high twos, low threes right now.
So if we went to that, I mean, even if we stayed the same with what we pay every month now.
Sure, with the shorter term.
15,
Yeah, it would make sense because you'd lump off a couple of years and keep the same payment and pick it up on the back end of your loan by shortening the term of your loan and paying it off faster. Absolutely, Roger.
Okie dokie. Well, I'll give you a call at your office.
Okay, buddy.
Someone start to run the numbers.
We'll run some numbers.
Thanks, Roger. Good luck running the numbers. That's important stuff to do. You know, hey, it can save you quite a bit, as you point out all the time, David.
Sure.
Making these are decisions that really make a difference for years and years to come. Hey, can I ask you something about, like, people have someone in the family who's trying to buy a home for the first time in this environment?
Sure.
And I just wonder, you know, you see home values rising, and it's a couple, like, I hear from some people who say, you know what, it's scaring me a little bit. Is this overinflated? Is this like another one of those housing crazy booms and stuff? What do you recommend for first-time home buyers?
I think if you're a first-time home buyer and you have a good down payment and you know where you want to live and you have your heart set on a certain type of property, condo, townhouse, single-family house, and in a specific area that you know you're going to raise your family, that's close to your work, that's close to your family, that's close to your friends, and you have good credit, a down payment could afford the payment, which is equal to what you'd pay in rent, I think it's a good time to buy a home. Okay, because I bought my home in Northbrook in 2001. I bought it for like $600,000 at the time, whatever it was. It shot all the way up to $900,000, and then nice. It dropped back down to $600,000. It should have never been that high, and then it dropped back down. My wife's like, well, you know, we lost all this value. I'm like, we didn't lose anything. Okay, we're not selling anything. And then we sold it a couple of years later, you know, for like $700,000, right? You know, whatever it was. Okay, it's not mm-hmm. the greatest gigantic house in Northbrook. It's just what you get in Northbrook, right? You move that house to Southern Illinois, it's worth $325,000, okay? But it's just in the North Shore, right? So in the end of it, our family lived there for a good 18 years, right? We had three kids, four dogs. Great memories. It was a great time to buy a home, and we picked up a little equity to move into our next home. So if you want to buy a home and you're mentally and financially capable to support the payment, because a lot of, you know, when I say mentally is if something goes wrong at 2 a.m, you're the one fixing it. You better have the mental capacity to wake up and fix it or else, you know, you just keep renting. It's a personal yeah. decision to buy a home, and you have to be prepared both mentally and financially to make that decision.
I got to run. Thank you, David. Have a good weekend. OK,
you too. Thank you.
Good talking with you. It's bottom of the hour. Let's get to the news here on WGN.